Have to think back over many years, my life and things that's transpired. Not too long ago, I was asked to go preach in a fellowship meeting, and the church I was going to was back where I grew up, where I went to school, and the pastor of that church, this is a very good friend of mine, and some of the members of that church, since I've been going there, have got to know me and knew some of the students that I graduated with. And they told them that I was going to be there that night and preach, and at first it scared me to death. I know when they told some of them about who was going to be preaching, they said, "Surely it's not the Garner Smith that I know." They didn't have any greater doubts than I did. And all happened. But in spite of that, God has been so good to me. He saved me. Put me into a New Testament church in spite of all I did to try to stay out of it. And then finally called me to preach. And I could actually say he surrendered me to preach. He subdued me. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. And gave me the opportunity to be here tonight. I appreciate this church and its pastor, but really tonight I believe with all my heart that the reason I'm here is because the Lord wanted me here. Amen. And I say that very humbly tonight. I really do. I want to tell you this, and I'm going to get into the message. I don't know why the Lord brought this to my mind, but last week we were in a conference and heard a black man get up and tell the story. And this is not verbatim, but in essence, what he said. Brother Mike Powers had just preached a few minutes before that a message on scriptural baptism, and was he preached it just exactly like it is in the scriptures. This black man got up after that and told about how he had made a profession and we would say joined the church when he was about, I believe, 7, 8 years old, something like that. Then later on, the Lord really saved him. Lord really saved him. He said, "I didn't know anything. The church I went to didn't know anything. That was just a custom, you know, to do that. When you got a certain age, you went up and you joined the church. But the Lord really saved me," he said. "Really got a hold of him and really saved me." And he went to the preacher and told him that he'd been saved, needed to be baptized. And the preacher told him, said, "You're all right, son. You've already had baptism." And he began to search for baptism. He said, "I didn't know anything about the authority to baptize or anything of that nature. I didn't know anything about that. I'd never been taught it. But said I knew I needed something I didn't have." And he began to search and go to this church, and they wouldn't have it. They'd have baptism, not what he was looking for. And finally, the Lord led him to where he got real baptism. And he said, "Brother Powers, I didn't know what was lacking for many years. But finally the Lord showed me." But in spite of his ignorance, God led him to the truth. And the reason for that is because Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Folks, I believe with all my heart tonight, when the Lord saves you, He changes you.
Amen.
And He never lies to you, always tells you the truth.
Amen.
And I'm thankful tonight to be a member of a church and a church within a group of churches that believes that great truth.
Amen.
Now, if you will, turn with us tonight to Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. I've been working on messages for I don't know how long. Didn't even know for sure I was going to preach until Sunday evening. Brother Titus called me. You don't know, there's a lot of preachers, you know. And he could choose any one of us to preach any time. Has every right to do so. This is his church. And he should, not only has the right, but should ask whom the Lord lays upon his heart. So I didn't know whether I'd be preaching or not, but just in case, I worked on some. I worked on one, then I worked on another. I had one for sure I was going to preach, and I preached it yesterday morning at my church, and I knew for certain I wasn't going to preach it here after that. But anyhow, I worked on another one. That still wasn't sufficient. So the Lord laid this one on our heart, and we haven't been able to get rid of it. The burden for it. So you pray for us tonight as we preach a message that's far beyond our capabilities tonight. I just wish that I understood this, let alone being able to explain it to you tonight. Most wonderful subject in all the Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, this is what the Bible's all about. And yet, with as much information as we have, I find it impossible to really preach this subject like it ought to be preached. But bear in mind that we are flesh, and only by God's help should we even endeavor to preach this tonight. But it is a very precious subject to me, and if you know the Lord, it is to you too. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Jesus did many great things while he was here on earth. He performed many great miracles. He never faced a storm that he didn't calm. He never met a broken heart that he didn't heal. He never met an outcast that he didn't set on the right path. He never met a funeral procession that he didn't raise the dead. Jesus wrought many miracles, but the greatest miracle of all was himself, the God-man. As Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Then it goes on talking about the incarnation and all of Jesus Christ. My friends, Jesus didn't come primarily to work miracles. His lovely life, his great teachings, his mighty miracles were just incidental and only led up to that one great purpose for which he came. His great teachings and miracles and the many wonderful things that he did and the wonderful life that he lived were, as it were, just flowers sort of planted along the wayside that we could just get a little smell of the fragrance of him as he traveled that long road that finally led to the place we call Calvary, where he carried out the supreme purpose for which God sent him to this earth, to die on the place called Calvary. I want to talk to you tonight, if God will help me, about what Calvary means to me.
Amen.
I want you to think with me very prayerfully and very worshipfully. This is a serious subject with me, folks. The most serious thing on the face of the earth to me is Calvary. The reason tonight I can rejoice in what Brother Clyde Hancock preached, because I know what took place on Calvary.
Amen.
As Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ.
Amen.
I know what took place on there.
Amen.
And because of that, I have that hope tonight, that undying hope that one day I'll see him as he is.
Amen.
And be like him.
Amen.
First of all, tonight, what Calvary means to me is the only real, complete picture of how God hates sin.
Amen.
We talk about sin and how we hate it, but I want to tell you, my friends, you'll never understand. You'll never even get a real good glimpse of how God hates sin till you see Calvary and all of its awfulness
Amen.
That took place there
Amen.
On Golgotha's hill.
Amen.
God abhors evil today, folks. He hates it.
Amen.
He despises it. Sin, even the smallest sin in man's sight, is abomination to God. And high in the world today, and folks, I'm not being pious, but high in the world today, people that call themselves God's people can overlook things that they call insignificant. It's beyond me. God hates it tonight.
Amen, brother.
We in this world today have many false and light conceptions of what sin is. Many in this world would have us to believe tonight that sin is only a disagreeable hindrance to the smooth ongoing of society. Others would tell us that it's just a stumble in man's upward progress. And still there are others that say, well, sin is only goodness in the making. But in spite of all the false and light conceptions
about sin tonight, the one stark, dark reality, my friend, is sin is real and God hates it tonight. Sin is a narcotic to the soul that dooms it to hell. Sin is a madness in the brain that drives men crazy. How else could a woman leave or forsake her child even before it was born? How could you say to a doctor, take it from me? Sin in the mind. Sin is a poison in the heart that kills. Folks, you know what ODs are? It's sin. You know why our boys and girls today are dying from alcoholism? Because of sin. Sin, my friend, is a poison that will finally kill in the heart. Sin is an intolerable burden that an unbeliever will have to bear throughout eternity. An intolerable burden. All you think is fun today, but my friend, I want to tell you, sin has eternal consequences.
Amen.
What took place on Calvary pictures for you and me how God hates sin.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that not only will God condemn and punish sin in the future, but God condemns it right now. God condemns sin in the flesh. Not just in the soul, but in the flesh. Somebody said it doesn't matter what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. Well, I'm here to tell you, whatever you see on the outside comes from what's on the inside.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, out of the heart proceed these things.
Amen.
The reason there is nakedness on the outside, because there is emptiness on the inside.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak to the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. My friends, God condemned sin in the flesh of His Son on Calvary.
Amen.
That's how God hates sin.
Amen.
Sin brings death and destruction. The other night, I heard a man that, I believe 25 years he'd been in law enforcement, a Baptist preacher, and he preached on the sin when it's finished. And I tell you, I wish every young boy and girl could have heard it. Sin when it's finished. My friend, sin always brings destruction. Sin is no little sickness.
Amen.
I hear people talking about praying for supposedly backslidden Christians or even lost sinners, and they pray as though the sin of that soul was some little sickness. But I want to tell you, my friends, tonight, sin is a cancer. Sin is tuberculosis. Sin is leprosy of the soul that will finally, eventually destroy not only the soul, but even the dignity of life itself. How we need to see sin today in this church, everywhere, as individuals, through God's eyes. And my friends, the way to do that tonight is see it through the crimson flow of Calvary.
Amen, brother. Amen.
That's what sin's all about. Only through that act that took place on Calvary can you ever see how God hates sin. Well, I think about it sometimes. By my sins that nailed Him to the cross, and what a mountain of sin that was, folks. Just mine. Now think about all the sins of all His people through all ages. No, I want to tell you, I can't comprehend that tonight, but that was all laid on Him. Laid on Him. Yes, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, it was a body. Oh, God did condemn sin in the flesh. It was a body. It was flesh that the scourge fell on there as they whipped Him. It was flesh that they plucked the beard out of. It was flesh that they placed the crown of thorns on. It was flesh that they laid the lashes on there. Yes. And God was condemning sin yes. in the flesh. My sin and your sin. Yes. God hates sin tonight. Yes. Everything in this world that's wrong tonight can be laid up to sin.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Coldness in our churches, just write it up to sin, folks.
Amen.
That's right. All the reason churches are so cold. And I told my church, and this is the truth, the greatest desire and the prayer of my heart is, I think about what Paul said, is with the prayer of his heart was that his people might be saved. The prayer of my heart tonight, folks, is that God's people might be revived.
Amen.
That God's people might see sin like God sees it. That's all it'll take, folks.
Amen.
All in the world it'll take. God's people see sin like God sees it.
Amen.
God hates it tonight. You look, my friends, at the people that do not have any compassion or concern about lost people today. You know why? Sin. All the dishonesty and fraud today, you know what it's all about? Sin. All the sex perversion, the prostitution, the liquor traffic, the drug traffic. My friend, it's not just a problem of society. It's sin. All the broken homes tonight. Preacher told me the other day, about a man in his church that has a wife, and I think about three children, young couple. He just walked off and left them. You know what that is, folks? That's sin.
Amen.
All the tragedies, wars, starvation, just right up to sin. My friends, that's what Calvary's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Sin. Got three questions I want to ask you tonight. Was it just a disagreeable hindrance to the smooth ongoing of society that caused David, the sweet singer of Israel, to stake his throne and the joy of his salvation for a few moments' embrace of another man's wife and then have her husband killed? Was that just a hindrance in the smooth ongoing of society? Was it just a stumble in man's upward progress that caused old Judas, one of the 12, to betray his master and his leader for the price of a hog and then later go out and commit suicide? Was it just goodness in the making that caused a man a few years ago down in the state of Indiana to come home and take his little small son with his bare feet and set his bare feet upon the eye of a cooking stove? My friend, was that just goodness in the making? I don't have to hear your answer tonight. We all know what it was. It was sin, folks. That's what it was. And God hates sin tonight. Sin. Preacher told a story. It was supposed to have been true. It helps illustrate what I'm talking about tonight. Several years ago down in Texas, there was a man and woman that wanted a child for several years and they didn't have one. Finally, in praying, God gave them a beautiful little girl. She'd gotten up, I don't know, a year or two old. And now they fixed up a little nursery for her, a beautiful room for her. And that's where she stayed at night. She'd sleep in there. And she was so dear to them. You know, her voice was their music. When she got up every morning, they saw that was their sun rising. First thing they'd do when they get up in the morning was go in there and see about that darling little girl. The last thing they do every night was go in there and put her to bed and tuck her in, see that she was all right, and then go back to their bed and sleep, just anticipating the daylight the next day that they might see her again. One night, while they were sleeping, an old rattlesnake slithered into that nursery and somehow or another got up into the bed or crib where that little baby girl was and placed his filthy fangs into that little baby girl there in that bed. The next morning, Mom and Dad got up to go in to see that little child. And there her jaws and cheeks were all swollen from the venom of that rattlesnake. And her little arms were black and swelled from the poison that he put into her. And when Mom and Dad walked in and saw that little darling girl of theirs that was their very life, all swelled and blacked and bruised because of the poison venom. That rattlesnake curled up over in the corner with its fangs out. My friend, as Mom and Dad looked at that dirty, filthy rattlesnake and what it had done to their daughter, magnify that billions of times, and you get just a glimpse of how God hates sin. That's what it done to his son.
Amen.
The old serpent placed his poison in you and I, and it was laid on him on Calvary, folks. God help us to see that tonight.
Amen.
That's how much God hates sin.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Somebody had to pay. He's the only one that could.
Amen.
I want to tell you something I just learned recently. And I'll tell you, it blessed my heart. It was evil, dirty, wicked, filthy hands that placed our Lord on Calvary yonder. Oh, it was. What terrible, filthy, sinful hands, wicked hands that put him on the cross. Nailed him there. But yeah, I want to tell you something tonight that blessed my heart. I want to tell you, after he'd paid for man's sin, after he'd finished it on the cross, my friends, I want to tell you, he was still God there on the cross. It wasn't some give out, played out cry, but he cried out in a loud voice, and he said, "It's finished."
Amen.
He wasn't exhausted. He still had the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
Then it said he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. No man takes my life from me. I'm tired of laying down and tired of taking it up again.
Amen.
Gave his life. But I want to tell you, after they, he paid the price on Calvary, never again did sacrilegious, filthy, sinful hands ever lay hands on him again. It was believers that took him and laid him in the tomb. After he'd been resurrected, even though a doubter, it was the believer that reached and felt in his side. Never again will sinful hands touch the body of our wonderful Lord. Then he ascended back to the Father. And one of these days, my friend, we'll bow at his feet and his hands, shake hands with him. But my friend, it won't be sinful hands. What took place on Calvary. Listen to me, boys and girls, men and women. God hates sin. It took his son.
Amen.
The only begotten son. God hates secret sin.
Amen. Amen.
Just because the preacher, mom, dad doesn't know it, doesn't make any difference. God still hates it.
Amen.
God hates public sin. There seem to be some today that think that they strut it public enough that it'd be all right. I don't care, my friend, how they change the law or change the philosophy of thinking of man today. God still hates sin.
Amen.
I tell you, he hated it when Brother Hilly preached it, and he hates it today when I preach it. God hates sin.
Amen.
Thank God for some that preached it in the days of Brother Hilly.
Amen.
He was one of them.
Amen.
God hates sin when he's dressed up in a heart shape of Mark's suit. But I want to tell you, he hates it when it's in overalls.
Amen.
He hates it in church. He hates it at home. He hates it at work. And he even hates it in the White House. God hates sin.
Amen.
Whomever you are, wherever you are, God hates sin. And if you want to see how he hates it, just look what he did to his son on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Every drop of Jesus' blood cries out, God hates sin. How we need to see it tonight. Man says sin is an accident. God says it's an abomination. Man says sin is a blunder. God says it's blindness. Man says sin is a defect. God said it's a deformity. Man says sin is a mistake. God says it's madness. Man says sin is weakness. God says it's wickedness. You ever hear that? Oh, I'm just human. Doesn't make any difference. Still sin, folks. Man says sin is just reality. God says it's rebellion. Man says sin is just a quirk in man's nature. God says it's a quarrel with his holy nature. Sin. My friend, this book we call the Bible right here tells us that God hates sin.
Amen.
He demonstrated his hatred for sin on Calvary. Secondly, tonight, what Calvary means to me is the only full, complete story of God's love for the sinner. Tell you what, you can walk out tonight. You can see the stars up in heaven. You can see the glory of God. The firmament declares His glory. Tomorrow when the sun comes up, you can go out and see the grass and the trees. And you can see the greatness of God. But I want to tell you, you'll never see His love till you see Calvary.
Amen. Amen.
The world has seen His greatness. And the world has seen His glory, and it hasn't done anything for them yet. It hasn't, except condemn them. But I want to tell you, if you ever see His love, you'll never be the same again. If you ever go to Calvary and see what God did for you, at Calvary you'll never be the same again. Nothing in this world can express God's love. Not education. Well, I'm not... Yes, education, there's no virtue in ignorance. Not a bit. But education can't show you the love of God. Not philosophy. There's a lot of it today. As a matter of fact, all religion is philosophy except true Baptist religion. The rest of it's philosophy. It's what men think. It really is. It's the thoughts of men. It's not God, not truth. It's not by science. If the scientific world, had its way, they'd destroy Calvary. It's not sociology. As much as I love music, it's not even music. You can't demonstrate the love of God in music. And as bad as I hate to admit it tonight, you can't fully express God's love even in preaching. No, you can't. Oh, I've tried it, folks. I've sat down with lost sinners. I've cried with them. I've prayed with them. I've done everything within my power to show them the love of Jesus Christ and couldn't do it to save my life. I couldn't do it. Can't do it. Nothing in this world. Oh, this Bible, my friend, contains it tonight. But the only way you'll ever see the real love of God is to go to Calvary. Let me read you the words of a song that expresses it a lot better than I can. The love of God is greater far than tongue or men can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hill. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Now listen to this, folks. I'm talking about how to express the love of God. Could we with ink the ocean feel? And were the skies of parchment made? My friends, if the Atlantic, the Pacific, and all the rest of them were filled with ink tonight, and the whole sky of this world was a scroll or a paper tonight, and it goes on to say, and every stalk on earth a quill, every blade of grass was an ink pen tonight, and the sky was a piece of paper, and the ocean was filled with ink. Listen to what it says. And every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry.
Amen.
Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
Amen.
Man, you can't write it tonight. You can't even tell it tonight. But thank God He can give it to you tonight.
Amen.
Love of God. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. How measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. Praise God, the saints and angels song. The love of God is seen on Calvary. God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved that He gave. Here's a great truth, folks. You can give without loving. Oh, I'll give to charity. A lot of times, not loving. I just give because I'm afraid somebody would think I was some kind of old cheapskate or something. Well, you have too, haven't you? Sure, you give without loving. But I want to tell you some nights you can't love without giving. I used to wonder about church members that didn't give. I don't wonder anymore. I know what's wrong with them. They just don't love God, folks. You can't love God without giving. Somebody says, "Preach, I know that's right, but I can't do it." If you know it's right and love God, you can't keep from doing it.
Amen.
God so loved that He gave. God so loved that He gave His Son. Not an angel. He could have sent an angel, but He didn't. He sent His Son. Only begotten Son. To die for us. To bear our sins, the just for the unjust, the wicked, the righteous for the wicked. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God so loved the world. Somebody said, "You don't believe that," but I do believe it. I do believe God loved the world. I sure do. I believe He loved this cosmos to order things. I believe He loved it the way He set it up and the way it operated. And then man, through sin, damned this earth, caused a curse to be put upon it. And I want to tell you, when Christ paid the redemption price on Calvary, He not only redeemed the soul of His people, but He also redeemed the soul of earth. And she's groaning today because of the curse on it. One of these days she's going to lift it. And for the first time since Adam sinned, she's going to bring forth a hundredfold. I look forward to seeing that. I don't mean to be funny. My friends down in Tennessee where I grew up, man, there was 100 rock to every dirt. I used to work down there, and I tell you, it was awful trying to work in those rocks. And then about the time you get your crop come out, crop out, here come the insects, and then here come the grass, and you have to chop and hoe and all the rest of that stuff. Then you get about a third of a crop. And I want to tell you, one day He's going to lift the curse of this old earth. And He says He's going to bring forth 100-fold. And I'll tell you, the insects won't bother it. And the vegetation won't bother. As a matter of fact, it says the yield will be so great that when the fellow is sowing it, the fellow will still be harvesting it. The soil will overtake the reaper. But I want to tell you, another way He loves the world is God's no respecter of persons. Somebody said, "You Baptists that believe in the doctrine of grace believe God's respecter of persons." No, I don't. Don't a bit in the world. He never saved anybody because He respected that individual.
Amen.
Well, certainly not. John said in 1 John 2 and verse 12, "Little children, your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake, not for my name's sake." The reason He saved me was because He respected His Son.
Amen.
Paul, Peter talking to Cornelius over in Acts chapter 10. What is it? Verse 35 and 36. Verse 34 and 35. Said God is no respecter of persons. Folks, He saved the Gentile just like He saved the Jew.
Amen.
He does not save the white at the expense of the black or the yellow. He does not save the American to the exclusion of the Russian or the Brazilian or the African and the rest of them. God does love the world, folks. And He sent His Son to die for all kinds of people in this world.
Amen.
All nationalities. That's why we send missionaries. God loves. That's why He died on Calvary's cross. God so loved the world, the rich and the poor, the black and the white, and all the rest of those that will believe and trust in Him. Let me read another poem to you tonight. I don't usually do this, but I find my vocabulary is limited to a great extent in anything, but especially when I try to tell you about the love of God. And so I use much of what other people have to say when it's a lot better than mine, and most of the time it is. But listen, this is a poem that's called "A Miracle of Dreams." But it sort of tells us what it's all about when Jesus Christ was born here on this earth. When I read this, no wonder, my friends, I don't wonder anymore why the angels burst their invisible bonds and became visible to cry out to those shepherds on the Judean hillside, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Why? A Savior has come. Now listen. "That night when in Judean skies that mystic star did spend its light, a blind man moved in his sleep and dreamed that he had sight. That night when shepherds heard the angelic choir sing near, a deaf man stood in slumber spell and dreamed that he could hear. That night when over the newborn baby, the tender Mary rose so lean, a loathsome leper smiled in his sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night when to the mother's breast the little king was held secure, a harlot slept a happy sleep and dreamed that she was pure. My friends, this poem is called A Miracle of Dreams. But I want to tell you tonight, folks, God's love's no dream. Oh, it's real. Listen to me, sinner, tonight. Though you're drunken in sin, you're deaf in sin, you're blind in sin, you're dumb in sin, you're dead in sin, you're as loathsome as a leper in sin tonight, or as a prostitute or whatever you are, my friend, God's love is real and it'll save you tonight.
Amen.
Yes, it will. Somebody said, how you know? Brother Clyde Hancock said, he saved me.
Amen.
He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?
Amen.
Then, my friends, something else about Calvary tonight. Calvary furnishes a climate in which we that are saved ought to live in. There's a song, something about that. Are you living in the climate of the cross? But I want to tell you tonight, folks, the climate of the cross is a climate where consecration grows. Yes, it does. If you live in the climate of the cross, in the shadow of the cross, it's where sacrifice, where forgiveness grows. It's a climate, my friend, to raise your family in. Teach them about Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, today, people that spend so much time, so much effort, and so much money in getting their children a secular education, would just spend half that much effort and time in seeing that their children knew about the Lord tonight. What a change it would be in this whole earth tonight.
Amen.
Oh, it would.
Amen.
I tell you, the climate of the cross is a climate where selfishness can't survive. No, it can't. No unkindness in the climate of the cross. Bonds of hatred and hypocrisy die in that kind of climate. Where our trouble is today, my friend, we're living in the climate of the world and not the climate of cross. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows over me. Calvary. And then last of all, my friends, tonight, Calvary is the only way home to heaven.
Amen. Amen, brother.
If you ever get there, that's how you'll go.
That's right.
It's the only way.
That's
right. Calvary's the only way. Can't reach heaven, not but go but Calvary. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get there by proposition. You can't get there by transaction. You can't get there by decision. Only by repenting and believing and the ransom that was paid for you, Jesus Christ. The verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But I thank God for the next verse, because it says He's revealed it unto some by His Spirit.
Amen.
We don't know all about it. You know, 1 John chapter 3 said, we don't know all about it yet. We don't know exactly what it's going to be like. As Brother Hancock said, there are some things I don't know. But one thing I do know, that when He shall appear, I shall be like Him. I'll see Him as He is.
Amen. Amen.
Listen to me. Tonight it says, eye has not seen what God hath prepared. Told you a few minutes ago about being a little country boy out of the hills of Tennessee. I never expected. I'm honest with you. I never expected to get much further than the county line, let alone across the state line. I really didn't. I grew up on welfare. I'm honest about that, folks. And I don't want to preach a sermon on that. I could preach a good sermon on that, too. Don't want to do that tonight, but that's how I grew up, folks. I can remember when my mother, with four children at home, my daddy unable to work, you listen to me, some of you young people, some of you people think it's bad today.
My mother took $36 a month, paid house rent, and sent four children to school. I never went hungry. And I want to tell you something else. I never went naked. I didn't dress ungodly either. Wasn't allowed to. But that's the kind of grew up. I didn't have much, but I had a godly mom and daddy. They gave that to me. And I'll never forget it, folks. They didn't save me, but they pointed me to the one that did.
Amen.
Never expected to see much in my life. Never did. But oh, I've seen some wonderful things here in this world. I really have.
Amen.
Several years ago, I had the privilege I never expected. Some people happened. I got to go to what we call the Holy Land, a tour with Brother Harold Harvey here. I remember flying over the Swiss Alps and seeing the snow on them, and I thought that was the most beautiful sight I'd ever seen. Those white clouds, I'd never been in an airplane to then. Went on into France and saw, what is it, they call it, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, some other things we saw in France. Then went over in Greece and several other places, and finally we arrived at Tel Aviv, Israel. And I just couldn't hardly contain myself to be in the country where the Lord grew up, you know. Finally, about 2 o'clock, about late one afternoon, we got over to Jerusalem, the St. George Hotel. I was in a room with a fellow by the name of Bobby Jones from up in Scottsville, Kentucky. We lay down in the bed, and this little country boy, no way in the world he could sleep in the city of Jerusalem. I couldn't shut my eyes to save my life. Out at the end of the hall, I don't remember what floor was on, but I walked out the end of that hall, and it had some windows you could open up, and a little porch out there, and I walked out on that porch, and I stood there, and I looked out over that land of Jerusalem, and I know, folks, it's different from what it was then. I know that. But I looked out the landscape, and I got to thinking about where I was almost 2,000 years ago. My Savior walked there. Man, there's more than this old boy could take.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen some wonderful things. I've got a little granddaughter. If you've got any grandchildren, you know what I'm talking about. One of the beautifulest things these eyes ever set sight on is our little granddaughter. I love with all my heart. But all my friends, God said, eye hath not seen what He's prepared for those that love Him. The very best that I've seen, put them all together, and it won't compare with what He's got waiting for me. All because of Calvary. Ear hath not heard. Man, I've heard some beautiful music. I want to tell you, two of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life is I'll Rise Again, It's Finished. I mean that, folks. I don't care who sings them. When I rise again, I just care how to keep my feet on the floor. But folks, I'm going to do that like we heard preaching. I'm going to rise one of these days. Yes, I am. Oh, this old body is all out of shape tonight. Oh, I guess I'm fairly healthy, but I'm all pooched out here in the front, beginning to hump in the back and wrinkle and all of that. All out of shape. Doesn't bother me too much, because most of the people I go along with are getting the same shape. But I thank God tonight it won't always be that way.
Amen. Amen.
Won't always be that way. We heard tonight He's going to give us a glorious body, fashioned like unto His body. Won't be this old vile body no more. Ear has not heard, but I've heard some beautiful things. I heard these songs, it's finished. Now it makes me want to go on. The battle's over. Oh, I thank God that it is.
Yeah, amen.
But the ear hath not heard. You can't even imagine what you're going to hear when you get over there. Yeah. Neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared. I get to thinking about heaven. I get over in Revelation. I read about the New Jerusalem. And folks, that's not heaven. That's just a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why, sure it is.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
And that heavenly Jerusalem is going to be right here in the middle of it.
Amen.
Thank God. Right now, I believe I'm going to be in it.
Amen.
God will give me the grace to stay faithful. I'll be in it.
Amen.
But I'm in His church. I'm saved. I'm in His church. Now,
amen.
A lot of things can happen before He comes back, but I believe I'm going to be in it.
But listen, I get to thinking about it, reading it, and man, I can't even imagine what it's like there in Revelation, all those things it's talking about. But it's far greater than that. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like. Praise God, I'm going there. Why? Because of Calvary. And that's the way there. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod, if I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, that the way of the cross leads home. It's finished. The battle is over. It's finished. There will be no more war. It's finished. The end of the conflict. It's finished. And Jesus is Lord. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Amen.